The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, our Father, for tonight. We appreciate you. We give all the praise and glory to your name for what you have for us today. Thank you, our Father, for so much mercy is available now for us. So we assess provisions, we assess resources, we assess blessings. And tonight we greatly get blessed, every one person, every listener to this broadcast in every place in Jesus' name. I receive help, Lord, help on the this commission, help to be able to bring forth that which is in your mind. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at what God is looking on to see with us, or to see in us. The work is looking at to see in us. That can command or commend God to want to come for us. And that's the reason, that's the essence of charity. Charity is to position us as people, as children that God can come for, that our Father can receive, that our Father can draw nearer to Himself. And that's what we've been seeing. And as we round up this place we are in, I believe that is a major point for us. So tonight, as I began to look at the heart of the Lord and see what He has to say to us, I see an expression of that fruit that Paul kept on mentioning, that I still want us to look at today. Amen. We are saying that nature called charity is a fruit. It's a fruiting from a tree that has been planted, that has been raised or nurtured. It's a fruit, it's a nature, and we're just looking at it more closely. Amen. Are you there with me, please? 1 Timothy, let's still read again from 1 Timothy today. 1 Timothy, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So I was saying that the one, if you see love there, is brotherly love, which is also referred to as brotherly kindness. Because all of them, godliness, faith, love, patience, all of them are expressions of charity. Amen. They are expression of charity, or they are fruit measurements of charity. They are things you arrive at of various junctions of in the journey of charity. It all starts from faith. Start from faith to charity. Add to your faith. Amen. And the end is charity. So there's journey from faith to charity. So all of these are expressions in the midst. Say amen. Are you with me, please? So you can see love, patience, meekness. Meekness. So some of the things that Paul told Timothy he has to look after. And say, he says, follow after things you must, in following righteousness or following faith, things we must note as arrival points. You must see that nature, godliness, pump up clearly. We saw what's godliness, right? Last time on Sunday, we saw faith, we saw love, patience, then meekness. 2 Timothy, amen, 3, but they shall proceed no further, verse 9, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, what again? Charity, patience, persecutions, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of all of them, all the Lord delivered me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's get some other more scriptures I want on that area. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me see 2 of Timothy. Chapter 2. 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Are you there? Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his own will. Are you in that place? Titus, let's just see. I want to bring something out. Titus. 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So you can see, now, if you look at all the scriptures I read there, you will see that what is seen as a place you arrive at, or the arrival point of the man called charity, is the nature called meekness. Okay. That's where I say, no, it says, showing all meekness unto all men. All meekness. So you can see that when you say a Christ man, though you call him a charity man, but the very nature of charity is meekness. So you can see Jesus said that in Matthew 11. And I just felt we should not go on without stopping there. The last time we were talking about administering water, having access to water, and using water on each other, on one another. Are you with me, please?
Yes, sir.
All of those things the Lord was saying was supposed to work out something. is trying to achieve something in our nature. It's true that we are being cleansed. When you are washed with water, you are being cleansed. But you can understand that it's actually still a body wash. Whatever is going on in the Christ world is still body. It's still a washing of the, that's why I talk about the washing of water by the word. It's the washing of a body. It's still not actually the purging. It's not purging of the of nature. It's the washing of nature. There's still between washing and purging. Say amen. So if you look at that Ephesians 5, said, no man yet hated his body. He was describing there. Are you with me in the house here? Ephesians, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church, his own flesh, so his body. And that place, can we get me another place? Talking about referring to the body. Let's go on. 30. Let's 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. So, it's a season of cleansing, but it's not yet a perfection. It's not yet a perfect cleansing. Or else there's nothing for that we'll do. If you look at Hebrews 12, are you with me here today? In Hebrews 12, you can see what the Father do. What the Father do? Let's see 12. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page tonight? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Now faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, where of all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Are you there? Furthermore, we have at heart fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but if for our profit, we might be partaker of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present is meant to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it's you that the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So, another word for chastening or is dealing. Amen. Okay. Amen. So you use the word there, chastening here, and scourging here. In John 17, you use the word purging. A purging that may bear forth more fruits. That's it, that John's part. John 15, right? Can I see that? Scourging. Scourging is a form of purging. But let's see. Let's see it. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, they are beareth fruit. So it's not the one that does not bear fruit. They are beareth fruit. He purgeth it. So it's a purgeth what is already bearing fruit. That it may bring forth more. So the Father's job is more purging. It's not washing. Say amen. Amen. I'm just going to say that it's not yet it's not a finish line work. Or else there won't be need for the first and the last work. Are we in the house, please? So it's not really it's perfect. But you know, it's not yet perfected. It's mature. Perfect as mature, but it's not yet complete. Say amen. So it's not but there's something they have to get from him. The job of the Father is to perfect us. Is the train to really train us to blood, so that we can partake of his nature. Is to partake of his divine nature. That's his job, is to give us his nature, and his nature is blood. It's blood. Am I still in the house with you? Have I shown enough scriptures on this? Amen. I'm trying to say that. So when you hear the word training is purging. Or scourging. That's why they scourge a man. They scourge a man from the Jewish culture. They say, give me a scourging. Scourging is to, blood must come out. Because what they use to scourge is the wire that has hooks. It's like the barbed wire. And when you use barbed wire that can run around the person. And when you run around the person, you're giving scourging. That it run around, they pull it. So purging is, I must say scourging, which the Father gives as he trains, is purging. It's not washing. So, washing is a degree of cleansing that is a must. If you are not washed, you are not of ease. But you can't talk about purging if I've not been washed. It is those who are washed that can go through purging. Say amen. So I'm just trying to say that. So washing takes away certain levels of filthiness, which are majorly filthiness of the flesh. Majorly. It's majorly filthiness of the flesh. There are also filthiness of the spirit. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness. So if you don't move to filthiness of the spirit, you can't perfect. That's where they're perfecting holiness, in the fear of God. So if you have not partaken of cleansing from filthiness of the flesh, you can't talk about the filthiness of the spirit. You need another eye to see of the spirit. You have not seen of the flesh. Say amen. If it is of the spirit, you cannot really, you can't easily see it. You can't easily see it. So we know that. So using water, you get the maturity plus a point where you can use water because you have also been washed. It's a dealing to make you see something. There's something the soul of man needs to see in order to be able to break. Soul needs to break from his strength. What did I say? Soul needs to break from his strength. Even strength that God gave to you, not strength that even as someone natural, we have human strength. And also we have strength that God gave to us. Like when God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made, he said, when he besought the Lord three times, he said, the Lord said to him, My strength, my grace is sufficient for thee. That grace is my power is sufficient for thee. I have enough power to get you rolling because you already have a strength before that may not make you assess more strength. Now that strength is the strength given by the Lord. It's not the strength he had as a carnal person. But he needs to also move to a place of a higher strength. And if his strength is not made weak, that is what is made weak, his strength is not able to answer for the demands of what are the challenges of now. When your strength cannot make for it, then you appear as weak, though you have power. Say amen. Amen. But the power is not showing for, because power, when you say you have power, power is shown for when it solves a problem. Amen. When you solve a problem, then you know that I have power. If you're not able to solve a problem, you say, So you can ask for more strength. So where Paul was, if they allow him to keep on walking there and keep on going there, he would think he has strength. But the strength is not yet perfected. Amen. So they have to allow this to happen to him for only one reason. For perfecting of strength. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So that weakness there is power. But it's a weakness that Christ has turned to weakness. Because it's not allowing to solve the problem. Say amen. So, I believe that we can see tonight, okay? Some of these places, some of them, we talk about them, but we don't really know them. But when I say somebody is meek, for example, you think somebody who's quiet, somebody who is timid, come and take that song. I don't know if I can take it. And all of that, you know, and that is not really. Say amen. Amen. So you can't learn doctrine and not access power. When you are learning doctrine, when you are obeying doctrine, you are actually accessing power. God, it says the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So it's power. So doctrine is it's an instrument of imparting power to us. So a man who is doing doctrine is a powerful man. In terms of the power of Christ, the power that walk within us. The power that walk within us. The power that makes us obey, that makes us do the will of God. You can't do God's will without having strength. If you do God's will, the image of power has been working in you. That's why it says God is able to bring to both is the one who is at work in you, but to do the will and to do of his pleasure. So besides you can will, there's a power to will. Are you here tonight? There's a power to will, there's power to do. You may have power to will and you don't know what to do. And if you are not doing, people say you don't have power. Yourself you feel like I couldn't do it. I promise I couldn't do it. Because the way we see power is what it can accomplish. And which is true, but also when it does not accomplish when it's in process, it's also called power. So power is it's at work when you will. It's God who is at work in us. Is the one that is at work in us, both to will and to do. Both to will. So it's saying that you can will and you may not be able to do. You may lack performance and will. But you're not able to do. And these are areas of understanding of the gospel that the world cannot see. But that you are supposed to see, because if they are not doing, for example, the world says you don't have anything. In fact, you're going to church. Well, this year you're going to church. But it has not paid you anything. They can rubbish everything that has been an investment of 5 years just because you fail at some point, right? And they are right to judge so because they don't know us. What does it mean? They don't know the power at work in us. They don't know the dynamics of that power. And if you are also blind, you will agree with them. Many times when you pity yourself, for the past 5 years I've been in this church, I've been hearing the message, I believe the message, I know it is true, but my life has not changed. That's the statement of a blind person. Check your desire. It was not the same desire when you came in. Yes. Though you have not been able to bring the desire to fruition, but that you desire is a transition. That wasn't your desire when you came. So a man of power by the gospel has been discharged in you because you believe. Only that it needs to go through process, complete process, to empower you to do of the pleasure of God. Say amen. Amen. So you can see that the process of the work of righteousness in us, because all of the Christ is righteousness at work. Even faith itself is righteousness, right? So it's righteousness to righteousness. Righteousness. When you say fall after righteousness, it's telling you the documents it could be true. Righteousness is not true. That's it's righteousness that takes you to godliness. It's righteousness that takes you to temperance. It's righteousness that takes you. So it's a journey of righteousness, but it's called faith. It's faith work. So follow after righteousness. Aha. So righteousness begins to move from face to face and begin to bring forth results. And when you see it, it's no more going to look at, when I say patience, for example, it doesn't look like righteousness, but patience is also righteousness. It's an expression of righteousness at the point. Are we in the house here? So when you're defining Christ, Christ is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation. But there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's by faith. It's by faith. But that faith is revelation of righteousness. Are we in the house, please? So when I say follow righteousness, follow faith. And look at this. It's not repeating itself. It's saying follow righteousness because that is work of faith. That is the presence of faith. When you are in faith, it is righteousness. What will be seen? Are you with me in the house here? I'm not confusing you because we have been long on this matter. Praise God. So, why all of that is going on and all those things are going on, you're going to see that when you get to Galatians 5, one of the things there he mentioned, let's see, as a fruit of the Spirit. As a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. I trust the Lord for coherence tonight, so that I can, yes. So can you see? Then 22, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. They didn't really arrange it in order in that place. It is fruit of the Spirit is. So all of them are just like that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So you will see each time, they always mention meekness towards the end. It's towards the end. So it means that the whole work of righteousness is to work out to produce a meek man. So, how can you measure Christ in a person? It's the degree of meekness a man has is the measurement of Christ or charity in a man. Now, because of that, that's why I feel the Lord wants us to look at it very well, because it's the language being used, be meek. Let's be meek. You can't be meek except they have wrought righteousness in you. Except Christ has wrought righteousness. Except you have followed after righteousness. Except you have followed after faith. Except you have obeyed Christ's laws. Except you have served righteousness. You can't be meek. So Jesus said in that book of Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest." Is that what it says? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart." So he's describing a person there. "For I am meek." So without you arriving at meek and lowly in heart, you can't find rest. So there's something you need for the next journey. Are we in the house, please? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am charity." So charity is the nature for the attribute of that nature. Are you with me tonight, please? "For I am meek and lowly," because it is what I want to go from that Christ word is a heart. Yes, it's a heart. They can't get a total man. But they need a template for them to work with. Amen. All they want is a template that can work for the future. And so it's a heart. It's not a whole man. It's a heart. And I think it's also clear in the book of that, we normally read that Ezekiel 36. Okay, talking about how to bring you out of all your countries. And it says there, a new heart. That is verse 26. "A new heart also will I give you." Okay, a new heart. "And a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart." Heart, 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 heart. But we know that the whole of us is not heart. Say amen. "And I will give you an heart." It just emphasizes an heart. Heart. Out of flesh. "I will take away the stony heart. I will give you an heart of flesh." An heart of flesh. It's a meek heart. An heart of flesh. It's a meek heart. And it's called heart of flesh. Another way is to say, I will turn the heart of stone. Which you call conversion. I will convert heart of stone to flesh. Heart of stone. Heart that is fixed on its own way. When I say it is stone, a stone is fixed. The crystal structure of a stone is fixed. It's definite. Say amen. It's formed. It's definite. There's a way it's crystallized. And that is its own form. Even when you grind it to powder, it still maintains its form. That's why you can use that stone for cement. It still is form. Can you see that? When you use it to make cement, and you leave the cement for some days, what happened to cement? It returned back. Well, it's actually a stone. It's a grounded stone. So grinding does not change its nature. A work has to be done on it to convert it to flesh. Say amen. To a fresh flesh. A flesh that has blood. So you can see, so there's nobody on earth here. When you look at degree of God's dealing with people, we have We have the pinnacle of prophets in the Old Testament as Moses. They call Moses the meekest man on the earth. God can't walk with anybody, anything that is not fleshly. They call him the meekest man. But just didn't say Jesus is meeker. I said, I am meek. So he actually attained to a degree of meekness that defines nature. Call meek. It's a nature called meek. I am meek. So it's not something I have. I am. So the Christ man has a texture of meekness it must attain to. It must arrive there. For Moses was the meekest man on the earth. You know that he lost the promised land because of some hard posture. You know, he was the meekest man, but somebody can still make him to. Some disobedience can still override his meekness. Satan still got at him. Though you are a meekest man on the earth here, there's still place for sin to enter a meekest man on the earth here. What is that sin? What is the sin? Stubbornness. The same stubbornness that was on Israel is stiff-necked. Though they have broken Moses to an extent, but that thing is genetic. Amen. Are you in the house with him? He told God, he said to God, all these stiff-necked people, he didn't know that it was the expression of his own nature. You made me as a father to them. Eh? So instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock in anger. So anger can still get to this meek man. But I'm just saying that, forget about the mistake he made. But Moses was meek, man. For Moses to carry Israel, if they give you 10 Israeli men, you will know what it means. To carry your own nation for 40 years in the wilderness. Not 40 days, 40 years. Without the one location of a sustenance somewhere there. Sustenance was coming per time, per day. Every day they have to wait for manna. They have to wait. You know what happens when you don't have anything in your store? When there's nothing in your store. You know the way hunger eats you the next day? Now, when you stock your store, you just feel that you don't get. So you know that thing called hunger is a spirit. It's not just absence of food in the belly. You will walk out and play. You won't remember that you have not eaten because the store is full. But once the store goes down to nothing, you wake up with hunger in your heart because it wants you to complain. Amen. So, for him to have people to bear that number, he's a meek man. And that's why he's the pinnacle, or he's an icon of the prophets of the old. It's Moses. Moses and is the law of Moses. It's the tabernacle of Moses. Everything in that system is Moses. So, Moses begat a child called Elijah in the prophets. Elijah is still Moses. It's the flesh from Moses. So it's Moses. That's why you don't hear Elijah in the New Testament. It's Moses and Jesus. Can you see that? Uh-huh. Elijah did not build a house. No, Moses was faithful in all his house. Whose house we are we? So it's Christ. You can only compare Moses to Christ. That's why Moses himself said, a prophet like unto me with the Lord thy God race among you. And him shall ye hear. And any soul that will not hear the prophet shall perish among the people. I'm telling you. So, for God to commit such a thing to a hand of a man, he must be a meek man. You can't get that near to God. Moses was near to God. Moses was near to God. Moses is the man, is one man who saw the finger of God right. God's finger right on the stone. Say amen. But he must have something. Meek. So when Jesus said, I am meek, you know what I'm talking about? I am higher than Moses. I am the promised prophet that Moses spoke about. I am meek in heart. I have the tablet. I have the table that can take the finger of God. Say amen. Not the tablet of stones that fell and broke. But this tablet cannot, will not break because it's flesh. It's no more stone. It will be flesh. Say amen. So if we are talking about Christ being formed in us, all they are looking for is, what meekness do you have? So you can see everything in the scripture seems to be tied. I remember that scripture we read. Because if you find anybody, if anybody find a brother who is in the fault, let those who are spiritual restore such in the spirit of meekness. So the spirit nature must be meekness. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. So one thing there, so when you say right spirit, the spirit of meekness. Right spirit. Right spirit is the spirit of meekness. And it's called right spirit. Or spirit of a righteous man. Right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. So, what defines a clean heart? Or what a clean heart attain is a right spirit or a meek spirit. So without meek spirit, you can't really wield all the expectation. Your long suffering will be expired. What sustain your long suffering is meekness. What sustain your forbearance is meekness. The prayer on your forbearance is how meek you are. I don't know if you hear what I said. If you are having long suffering, the prayer of that long suffering, that thing you are long suffering, is loading on meekness. Once meekness is exhausted, your long suffering is exhausted. Hallelujah. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit. I like that word, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, be meek. Okay, that two of that. Galatians says, bear ye one another's burden. So fulfill the law of Christ. And what can make you bear another's burden? It's long suffering. You have suffered long. Huh? You can't bear somebody else's burden if you're not suffering with the person. And that's how you fulfill the law of Christ. I was trying to check out for the Paul's language in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19, but I will come to you shortly. Verse 19, if the Lord will, and we know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Are you there? What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love? And in the spirit? In the spirit of meekness? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love? And in, so when you are How you measure love is actually it's how much of meekness in the spirit of meekness. So if it's not in wrath, then it should be in love. If it's in love, then it must be in the spirit of meekness. That's why you can see it always attached gentleness to meekness. So the real gentleness is meekness. So a meek spirit is a gentle spirit. Say amen. That's why they use that to measure the Christ in a woman. It's an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Great price. Or you can call it a great gain. That price is gain. Ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Is the let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. So the hidden man of the heart or the hidden treasure of the heart is an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. So you can't say you are quiet or gentle except you are meek. Or else it will be the human quietness, which means that there's nothing going on in your mind. You're just quiet. A meek man is not a man who has nothing going on in his mind. He's a power man. He's a power man. You can't follow righteousness and not be a power man. Say amen. Amen. In the learning of that power, he has entered into meekness. I'm going to say something. There's a crossing place that a man must get to before he can attain to meekness. There's a learning place that a soul must get to before he can attain to meekness. That's why things doesn't go the way you expect them to go. No. The Lord will ensure that it doesn't go your way so that you can achieve that. Something will happen and say, Lord, let it be the last time. The Lord will say, this is not the last time. Some people live with you and you feel like, Lord, if this person goes away, I bear this person, but let it be the last one. If the Lord hear that and does not replace the person with another person like that, then they are not yet ready to work out that meekness in you. If they are ready, they will bring another one like that. They can be worse than that. Why? Because all of that is for a share. It's not, they don't hate you. There's a measure of work that should be done to change your nature. We don't change easily. We can't change easily. We are stony, stubborn, full of our way. That's why you have few people you like to go with. Is that right? In this church, everybody's my friend, but there are two people. Everybody's my friend. It means that everybody, I just say hello, hello to them. If you say hello, hello, it's a friend. They are not your friend. They're not your friend. They're just like your acquaintances. Though they're your brethren, they should be your brother. But they're just your acquaintances. Just like God gave Israel the law of neighbor. Those people, they call their neighbor are their brothers now. But they don't have what they to use the brotherhood law. So God gave them neighbor. Love thy neighbor. All of them are all children of Israel. They are of one blood. So they are not neighbors, they are brethren. But their nature cannot take the love brotherhood. So he gave them neighborhood. So sometimes our nature is not ready to go all the way. And the Lord will say, let me not try and that person with him. Lest I lose him. It's not yet going towards charity. It's not yet on the journey towards meekness. I'm saying now. So they will just leave him there and wait for another season. But when righteousness has been wrought, and they know that in your inner man, you want them to walk out all their way, then they begin to do their things in their own way. So they don't follow what you like. They follow what they desire because of your nature. What can turn you more? Amen? Are we in the house together, please? So I'm seeing them. I'm just saying that meekness is a spirit. It's a spirit of meekness. Meekness is a spirit. It's a nature. Actually, it's a hidden man or the real man. It's the real man of the heart. I am meek and lowly. Why do people are meek and lowly? I am meek and lowly in heart. So it's telling you the journey of how he attained to meekness. I'm lowly in heart. Say amen. I have told us before that every Christ man or Christ, anybody that is on journey of Christ's world had access power. Actually, he's a powerful man. In the spirit, you can't forgive sin if you're not powerful. You forgive your brother, sincerely, you're a powerful man. Amen. So all those things are not, they are power material, they are power things. Yes. But you see, you can forgive and not yet be able to, you may not be able to forbear. That is when you forgive, you just say, bros, I forgive you. But let's go our way. Go your way, I go my way. But I tell you, that one, no. How much was it? 2 million. Forget about it. That's power. Huh? And he did that from the heart. It's not joking. He did that from the heart. Say amen. That's forgiveness. You have to forgive one another. It's forgiving one another. And the one who did that, his own one, is ahead of him also. You can't rob your brother or defraud your brother and they will leave you like that one. They will arrange your own for you at the point where you're going to have your own fair share. Because all of us must be saved. Amen. So the fact that your brother is forgiven, you know, some people in church can just take their brother for granted. They just don't. There's nothing we do about it. He doesn't get annoyed, and they will use the fact that he doesn't get annoyed to do all manner of things. They don't know that Christ is the judge of all of this. He's the judge. He's the judge of it. What to do to your brother? Christ is the judge of it. So, I was saying, so can be you can have forgiveness, you may not have forbearance. Get me, there's a scripture that, is it the Lord himself is talking about? Let me see. Talk about the forbearance of God. That's Romans 2. Or despised thou the riches of his goodness. Are you there? And forbearance and long suffering. Do you despise God's riches of goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, you take it for granted. I like the one, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart. That hardness is stony. On repentant heart. They are people like that one in church, you know. They are believers. They speak in tongues, but they are still very hard, stony. They hold their brother without thinking. Treasure us up unto thyself, wrath. Against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man? How? I can't hear you. So every man here is not just unbelievers. Every man, even those who are in Christ, according to their deed. So just to say that, you can't just think you just your own, just know. It will render to every man. So God is forgiving. God is forbearing. And I think that's why Paul, in the same vein, that should be Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing. So you can't forbear if you are not meek. You can't long suffer if you are not meek. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Say amen. So I'm just trying to let you know that the degree of meekness allows you to move from one level of either your patience, your long suffering, your forbearance. They are measuring your degree of meekness. Because why you suffer forbearance? That at the point you feel like you have a right? When somebody is pressing on you and pressing on you to the point, you react. How do you react? It's not only the pain. You feel that you also have a right. How is it? If it does not pain you, you react because it's like it's oppressive, it's demeaning. That's why when you look at new Christian realities, for example, it speaks much of about what Christ did for you and your rights. Your right in Christ. I'm risen with him. I'm stead with him. I'm blessed. I'm the rational of God. Everyone? I have redemption. It's all about what you have. It doesn't tell you, you don't get to what you have to let go. Your own sight, that having all the right, which is really your right, that does not make you, doesn't make you a meek person. Until you have the right, you have the power in the right, yet you are not able to use it. You are not allowed to use it. Because you want to help somebody up. But when you have right is meant for, you want to give right to children. When they get back home, they exert it. When they tell you that your parents cannot spank you. If they spank you, come on, report it in school. There's the way the child comes home and walk arrogantly with a sense of, you can't spank me. You can't say, Mama, you can't spank me. Because of a new right. And that's what they do abroad. When children get to school, the first thing they teach the children is their rights. They teach them their rights, they don't teach them their responsibility. So many of them, for many years, is their right. And when they start telling them responsibility, they are already consumed with their rights. And that's how some of us as believers are. But he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He was made sin. He knew no sin.
So there's something that made him to be made. He was not forced to be seen. He agreed to become seen. He laid down his right because he wants to exalt you. He didn't lay down his right because he wanted to exalt himself. No, he was in the form of God. So that work done on his heart, there's a work done on his heart called meek. That when he sees God's will needed to be done to lay down his own will, he can lay down easily. So a meek man is not a man that walks like this on the road, no. It's a man who can lay down his own right at any time. Amen. God is committed to this part of our life. There's a very strong commitment of God for us to get what is working at this time with us. Yes. That tongue is exalting or announcing or projecting that God has a commitment. He has a measuring line. He has a place he wants us to get to. In this or walk. I tell you, for myself, from my own side, in the past 1 month, I would have left this place. I said, last Sunday, I just felt, I think we are done here. But I just said from yesterday, there's something you have not emphasized. There's something that is to be emphasized that will be a measuring, like a measuring line. Measuring line. When you say that Christ is formed in a man, how do you measure it? Amen. Actually, from all our formation, they are going to still work more on that. But that that tablet must be produced for God to be interested in us. If it's not there, God cannot, he doesn't have interest in anything that does not have it. Because God himself is, if you just say, I am, then you don't know exactly what God the Father is requesting for, asking for. And that's the same nature you can see me. Altar until he became the lamp. Amen. And to let you know that all those power things in the gospel is going to be all around about the formation of our inner world. If not for who God is, do you know what will have done to Satan? And if God did that to Satan, then anywhere where he find anything of Satan, he would do something to him. God is no respecter of person. So, God for years can be long-suffering. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, it says God is not slack concerning his promises. As men count slackness. If you are not attacking to what you want to solve, people say, the guy is slow. Amen. As men can't stuckness, but is long-suffering to us what? So, I think in the book of Exodus or so, God was introducing himself. I am the I am. Long-suffering. Slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. That is God announcing
The Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord is the judge of the whole earth. You understand that? The Lord is fearful and terrible, and that is terrible. When you see the example God has picked to show how terrible he is, but you see how many are pharaohs that God has dealt with it, that one. He can count them of wicked nation, wicked men on the earth here. He will just pick one and show forth his terribleness. Doesn't mean that that's how he will take every one of them. Their judgment is not for now. Are we in the house, please? Judgment is still ahead. So whatever God has done in this present time is just to pick an example. Like God picked Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, how many countries has God destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah? There are not many. But there are nations that are terrible. And you feel that God should sink. One man said something, was it last month? I think you live in Netherlands. And it's Netherlands that allows, that approved gay law to all, it should be Netherlands. That approved gay law to the utmost. The man said, God, sink us. Bury us. Well, the sinful approval of laws, atrocities. They are the one that took gay law to extreme. It should be in the land. The man gave like 15, talking about lawlessness in the land. Should a nation like this one exist? Lord, destroy it. Destroy us. Kill us. So some nations have, but God is not going to do that now to all nations like that. You just pick one as an example of destruction to know what will happen to all the rest. It may not be in this present world though, but to know it is eternal fire. If it destroys Sodom, it's a symbol of eternal fire. It's not for the present fire. If God come with a tsunami and clear off those who were doing a lot of things at the sea at that time, that very night of tsunami, it was when they were declaring one ungodly festival on that sea, and it cleared them off. It's not every day. And that's just what wicked people say. If God is want kill him, come on. I don't know how many times you have seen here if I say, God should come and kill him. It is our God does not kill like that. But if he punishes you now, maybe he can be a shaker for repentance. But if that is not punishing you for what you are doing now, God, it's nature. You can't make him angry to. It's righteousness we hold him. You can't provoke him out of place. No. When he's punishing, he will still bring mercy, will still be around the place. Mercy will be around the place. Can you imagine going to Sodom, going to Sodom, you still branch as Abraham's house. Because he knew Abraham will intercede. So, can you see that? So it's terrible. But that is not his nature. It's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. And not the way the one is said in, okay, this one says, but thou art God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great mercy, kindness and forsookest them not. Get me that one in that should be Exodus. By now, people should be dying, falling and dying on the earth. With the evil that is on the earth today. If you see the way bandits kill, God should pass through Nigeria and pick them one by one. Thank you, Exodus. That the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God. Merciful. Can you see his nature? Merciful. And gracious. Long-suffering. And abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and upon the children, and unto the third and the fourth generation. You can see before talking about punishment, is for mercy. God is too stable and too quiet inside of him. He's too quiet in the inside of him. God is ornament of a meek and quiet. So it's a work. Meekness is a work done that make a man stable. Why? He knows our frame. He knows our frame. He knows man. Now, why are we most of them disappointed? We have expectation. Having done this, in some homes, they are 50-50. Sweetheart, I have done this one. Try and do this one. And the other person, maybe it's a woman, just saying, I can't do more than 30. I've tried, sweetheart. Having carried 70, next one, you can't do more than 20. So, expectation. You expect that having carried 70, you should carry 30. Have you not tried to carry 70? So, part of our pride is our right. What I say? Why we hardly turn our right? So a meek man is a man who does not have, in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation. Being found in the form of a servant. If he seems as owner, not if he's Lord. He's Lord. But now he has found himself in the form of a servant. Like he said to them, I, your Lord, wash your feet. You call me Lord, and so I am. I wash your feet. He also to wash one another's feet. I, your Lord. So, I, your Lord, took the form of a servant. The last thing I was doing was a servant work. So, it means that he put away the reputation of a master, of a Lord, and took the form of a servant. But you know one thing is that, amen, when you are empowered, when you have power, it changes your estate. It gives you a higher estate. Let me see. Now, what is the power now? Power is not having more money. Even righteousness. When you have power of righteousness, there's a way you see unrighteousness as. As I was saying, in meekness, instructing, restored in the spirit of meekness. Now, It's not saying that you can do what he has done, but you can do what looks like that also. It may not be what he has done. For example, if it was fornication he fell into, but your own may be vaunting. Fornication and vaunting does not look, it looks like a way far from each other. So if you vaunt, it's also sin. The way they can't sin, sin is sin. If you sin in one law, you sin in all. Is that not true? You are a breaker of the law. I mean, my worship. Technical areas. Okay, sir? So a human face, it might look like this is more bogus. This is. Well, in the face of the law, you are all lawbreakers. So you're actually the same. So knowing that you are not also perfect, though you look perfect. So this way you should restore in the spirit of meekness, not using your power. All right. But go down and wash feet. Do the work of a servant. Because now you are trying to, not to judge him, you are trying to restore him. But they say, when you approach one person, you want to judge. And they say, when you approach one, you want to restore. So, why the put issue of washing the feet of the brethren? It's so that many times you will see how to lay down your right and how to wash another one's feet. So you can't do that except you go low. So I am meek and lowly. You must go low if you are going to wash feet. Are we in the house, please? So it means that lowliness is the fabrication of a meek man. They can't make you meek. Now, when you are washing feet, you are not yet meek. You go low. But when you wash your feet, as you go low, you become meek. Something is framed out of you because you went down. You go low. And you can't go low until you put away your light, your reputation. So Jesus made himself of no reputation. So while he was on earth here, though he knew that it's from above, but he sees himself as a servant. You call me Lord, so I am. But I'm not going to behave like that. I'm going to take the form of a servant. I'm saying he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God had highly exalted him, because God exalted the one who is low. And gave him a name above every other name. The Father's heart goes to those who are lowly in heart. But that's how they make meek men. They make meek men through lowly heart or lowly places. Righteousness raises you up. But there's a place it can raise you up to. I can't go beyond until you go low. Then when you descend, they now raise you higher than where you were before. So there's a place you can't go beyond in your righteousness until they make you low. When they make you low, they now make you meek. So a Christ man is a meek man. A Christ man is a lowly man. Now I say lowly does not mean that it's low in estate. But it takes a lowly estate. It takes the estate by himself. Not because he's a poor man. Not because he doesn't have things he can boast of, like Paul was boasting in the book of Philippians. Is it Philippians? CV of Paul. He brought it out. If anybody has anything to boast of, I also. Hebrew of the Hebrew, circumcised on the eighth day of the seed of Abraham, touching the law, blameless. A Pharisee of the Pharisee. And in a few instances, he has pulled out this CV to bail himself out. I think you know that. Paul pulled out some of the CV sometimes and bailed himself out. I'm a son of the Pharisee. And he divided the audience. I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead. Eh? When they heard resurrection of the dead. So that's where they took you. The place was divided. Amen. But he knew that he had to count loss. The fact that he used it, he knew that it was a useless coin. See what I'm saying? When your pocket has torn. Somebody says, this money. Say, this money, can you take it? I don't mind it. So you have you lost anything? Because to you, it has no value. But he needs it. So Paul gave them what they needed. He didn't need it. He didn't need it. Amen. He knew that he has something higher than being a Pharisee. But he can't all things dung. That I may win Christ. Can you see that? Now, it's not that he packed them one of these and gone. As demand came on them one by one. So it's not going to say, all my certificate is not like that one. As demand came on those status, it drops them. It drops them. Until it drops all the CVs. That he may win Christ. What is that Christ? That he may become. That I'm Christ. That may become. That he may be formed. If he doesn't drop it, it won't be framed. So you don't get framed by reading Bible. No, no, no. You get framed when they put demands on rights, your rights, and they say, take the form of a servant. Don't use it. That's why you can be in church. I can be a lawyer in church and start to go and clean toilet. Not because I'm trying to prove to be humble. But you can also try to prove to be humble. You know what I'm saying now? Because that is the demand, that's where the demand is for you. And sometimes we make our own cross. But you don't die well when you make a cross. And it is when the Lord made the cross for you. So if the cross for you is to go and be in the wash toilet, that is where your reputation will be put down. Uh-huh. It will work out salvation. So I say, if you want to, and all of you come, no, it doesn't, if all of them go and wash toilet, it may not work until in some of them. But that is not where where their reputation will be put down or will be demanded for. So the Lord himself is sign how we ought to die. Amen. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency. So he was taught to count this loss. Is that something you also know? He was taught. That's part of the learning. He learned it. How to count things but loss. That's the first level. Two levels. If it is Christ's word, you count it as loss. If it's in the Father's word, you count it as dung. There are two words. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Can you see? After you have suffered the loss of all things, then do count them. So you have to suffer loss first before you can count as dung. It means you are not looking for it back. It's gone and it's gone. You are not looking for it back. When you have the right to go and look for it back, you're going, no. As I opted today, Jesus Christ is please serving the world in the beginning. He's please serving. You got it? It was a word from the beginning. He's not a servant. He's God. But today, he's please him serving. Go up tonight, still serving on the right hand of God, on the majesty on high. As a high priest. And it's not doing with the sense that I'll soon finish it. No, he has taken that to office. He's pleased with it. So when God, when you see the throne and you see the Lamb on the throne, that's what qualifies for that throne. It's not the word who's on the throne, it's the Lamb. It's not the word, it's the Lamb. There are many things in the past which the Father could have been Father's utmost, whatever. He gave them all to the Son. Which it may not have been as judicial as the Word. But because of what he became, he gave him all things. All things. Teaching us that it is when it is in going low that you are exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In due time, he will exalt. In due time. He's the one who knows the due time. But for you, you have taken a permanent state. Humble yourself under the hand. I'm not saying it is tomorrow. No. For you, if they say that's the way to stay forever, you are okay. You are okay. But himself, because of his nature, if he sees that this is the man that should be on the throne, he will exalt you. So, really it's not reducing, it looks as if it's reducing us, but it's actually a way of exaltation. It can't exalt what is not reduced like that. And to make that happen, they have to instruct us over and over on the same. Yeah. You're going to suffer long. You're going to, over and over and over and over again. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth. It means that the care is attached to exhortation. When he exhorts you, it will show that he has cared for you. It will show that he has always cared for you. Why Jesus came down and went that low, he cared. He cared. There's no day he ever stayed without the Son. That is not looking like it. It's so far. Put him under the control of man, completely under control of man, governments of this world. No, they are wicked. He left him there. Because there's something about their nature. It's their nature. No matter how much you press it down, it's going to come up. So they are not afraid of falling. Amen. So, what am I saying today? The sacrifice of God, what God looked for, as a place to eat is broken heart and contrite spirit. You can't just go low easily. When you go low, it's a breaking. That's why I say, that's why it's like you are dying. We can bend. We don't want to like, there's nobody likes to go in low. And you know, the funnest thing is that there's life in the lowly estate. I learned of recent about, you know why we grow older? That we left the floor. We left the floor. We don't want to build all this chair for ourselves. We're supposed to be on the floor. You know why? You know why people have arthritis? This is the way men are supposed to be. When we go this way, our height is not the same. If all of us go this way, our height is nearly the same. It's when we stand this way that our height differs. So the one we bought when we came on the earth is the height. What your hand has wrought you, what your brain has wrought for you, what you have become in life, what have attained in the spirit, what are, that's the one we acquire with our age. So I learned some nations, some nations of the earth here, like those nations, like, you know, close to China, all those Eastern nations there, they do many things squatting. But they can sit down, the way I'm like, they can sit down the floor, the same way that they can sit down the floor and be eating, and be playing and be talking. You know, that's the impulse you took. We took when we were using our local gar. Our local gar. Not the white man. That was a nature's way of squatting. And health flowing through the legs. So you see why the children of them on the floor, on the floor, on the floor, huh? Why? They are low. They are low. But we are high. But say, I am the lofty one. I dwell. God said, me. I'm the loved one, but I dwell in lowly places. Holy place with men who are contrite in hearts. That should be Isaiah 57 or so. So, me, God, I'd like to come down and squat. For thus says the high, it's called the Most High. I'm not sure you're as high as this person. Are you as high as this person? This is the Most High, right? And lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. With him also that's of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And that word is broken hearts. Amen. So, Chain of righteousness is not just to teach us how to share revelation of God. No, it's not like that. It's a school of instruction until you are turn and turn, I can find it easy to go low. Go low. And some of us, if they said to go, should go low like that one, your bum will touch the floor. Because for a long time, you have not gone low for a long time, something. Now, this is a physical exercise. But for spiritual exercise, there's also going to be a spiritual exercise for you in righteousness to let go low many times. When the Lord wants to come on the earth here to exalt, he looks for those, that's what he comes to. Yeah. That's why the Father loves it. The Father loves it. It's not like not dressing well. It's like with your dressing well, you can go low. Say, hey, amen. It's like after you have become the professor or become a Supreme Court judge, you can go low. But those things give you garment, right? And give you class. You can go low. I thought you have attained to righteousness of Christ. Now, let me give you this one. Where I go today? When Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, you know, it's a whole journey. That Philippian writing is from 2, it went like that one, to 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That is the least, that is the lowest place. Not as though I had already attained, either way, already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Are you there with me? I like this place. Brethren, I can't not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. This I do is what I do repeatedly. It's not one thing I do once. One thing I do as a practice. Forgetting those things. Those things are reputations. Those things which are behind. And reaching forth on those. So if you don't forget those things are behind, you can't reach out. So things behind can be a snare to pull you back. So they give you class. They give you status. They give you height. So God's blessing itself or God's placement can be a problem to you. Many people have become more of a problem as being a pastor than if they have been a member of church. Yeah, because being a member of church, they said that the thing you could have heard and listened to. That being a pastor, if you're not meek enough, you won't listen to it. So it's a lifestyle. Forgetting. So it's not a thing you will do once. It's a lifestyle that remains a life practice. They are reaching for those things which are before. They now said, I press towards. A man who has energy to press towards, or is like using all his energy to move to the future, does not have any energy to sustain what is behind. When you put all your energy towards the side, nothing's remaining behind there. There's nothing you are keeping behind. Now, I see that about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, seeing the glory that was before him, he endured the cross. Endure is not manage. It's not try to bear the cross. It means that he endure means that he met all requirements of the cross. Because the cross is not just a place to just die. It's a place described for how to die. There's a way, amen. You know that on the cross, if those two thieves spoke about Jesus and he got angry, then he has not fulfilled the cross. So cross is not wood. Cross is a process to die, how to die. When those soldiers came to him and they checked whether he has died, If he has not died at that point and they broke his bone, then he has not fulfilled the cross. He's meant to die on the cross without his bone being broken. Talk about a Messiah that is being an event that is being guarded by hundreds of prophecies. And he has to fulfill all the hundreds. If you have one prophecy or 10, you can say, I won't talk. I should not talk now. Many prophets are hanging on his obedience. So you can see there, he obeyed. Can you see? The cross. Even the death of the cross. Even the death, the detail. So what Jesus was saying, really speaking about his death, was not just that he would be hung on the tree. It's how he should die. And the righteousness demand him should fulfill in that death is too much for that night. It's too much. It's like the righteousness of that night is like spanning what you should do in 50 years to be done in a night. One night. And one night that all of hell was let loose. Where disobedience is the easiest thing to do. Is this something to do? When he saw Peter telling, just say you don't know the night coming. That night is more than you. It's more than your commitment. No, and the worst, you die. That's who will come. Jesus said, in any way, of a note, for the cock crows twice, you deny me thrice. Because it's the night that it was too easy to misbehave. The spirit of lawlessness was already let loose from hell. Yet, he had to fulfill all the demands. That's a night. To let you know that what he went through, he has gone through the worst you can go through on earth here. I said Jesus went through all the worst you can go through on the earth here. So he purchased redemption for us. So there's nothing that hell can threaten you about. Your master has gone through it. And you have his gene inside of you. So somewhere you have the power to react the same way. Yes, you have it. You have it. When I give you ministry, what do they do? They give you the power to react when the real thing will attack you. And the boy is given when he was 5 years. The thing is lying there. Waiting for the day the very pathogen will attack. That day, everything the boy will say, we have been waiting for you. It's there. So in the gospel of Christ, everything that Jesus became is available for us. Say amen. Amen. That's how we're going to say that. The training of the season we are in, I don't know how many of you are on that season. The season, God is asking you to allow yourself. To allow yourself to go through the detail of instructions that can walk out and raise a meek man out of you. Everyone will see and say, this boy has become meek. He doesn't have the power of retaliation of his own. He doesn't have the power. God has asked him, he has submitted it. Is it right? Put it down. That's not the boy I saw 5 years ago. 10 years ago, it's a boy who asked for my right and everything. But now it's ready to lay down his right everywhere. They can say with this one, I have to get this one. He has to dwell with me. Say amen. It should dwell on high. Hallelujah. That's how they pick. Those who will dwell on high. It must be there. It must be contrite. Lowly. I will talk more about that. I don't think I've finished it. Because it's supposed to be a walk. Huh? It's supposed to be a walk. Can we yield ourselves to the Lord today? I ask the Lord to help us. Can we ask the Lord to help us? In understanding and in obedience. Help us in this season. Help us. Help us. Help us. I've been conscious of our rights and the work of God within us, so we'll be conscious of the responsibilities. We'll be aware, fully aware of the responsibilities. We'll be able to lay it down as the Lord put demands on us. That we'll make ourselves of no reputation. There's nothing attached to our name that will define who we are before God. Remember that when we are actually appear before Him, finally appear before Him, there's no name they call you that yet. It won't call Apostle Paul. It's Paul. Paul. Yet he's an apostle. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. But the Lord will say, Paul. Paul, thank you for what you did. Paul. I like the way you defend the gospel before the kings. Paul. That will be willing to be servants of God. Be willing in our heart. We love it. We love it. We love it. We love to go low. We love. Each time there's a demand for it to go low, we'll be ever willing to go low. We'll be ever ready to go low. We'll be more willing, more ready to go low. You can't serve in love. If you are not ready to go low, you can't serve. You can't serve one another in love. Thank you, Father. Lord, we appreciate tonight. We give all the praise to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray. Sometimes in the house, in your family, you are the one God gave the power to. And in power, it could be financial power. It could be time power. And God endow you. Yeah, God doesn't want you to take the honor to yourself. He wants to lay it in service. Lay it as serving, not lay it as reigning. Because I think you do it as reigning. And when I give the money for the food in the house here, reigning. Sometimes you are living with people and you're supposed to, you know the state of the house there, you're supposed to render help to them in the house there. As serving. I was talking to somebody there. I said, if I have a cup out there, I pay 70,000. I want to save money for your wedding from it. You don't know what you're talking about. No, I just saw in today something, 7,000 to coppers is no money. I don't, to many of them, it's so big a money. So money are for service, for service. And that's how you render your lowly estate. That's how you go down. Going down is not only by saying, sir, I pray, sir. No, you're going to be going down that way and you are proud. You are, yeah. Because you are not ready to lay down your power. You have power. You have power, but it's in your hands. You can't lay it down. So we're praying tonight. We're asking the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ that in every estate we find ourselves, every estate, in every place where I say that we find grace, understanding, to know that where we are going is still far from where we are. You are made for the heights. That your power in yourself cannot do it. You need to be helped. You need to be exalted. You need to be empowered up. You need to be received. The one who is on high should stretch forth his hand and receive you. Take you up. Lord, we thank you today. We appreciate you. We give you all the glory and praise.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.